Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the close of our studies, a short series, The Lord is My Strength. And once again, we will read the theme verse of this series. It is found in Psalm 28 and 7, a Psalm of David, a Psalm that was written out of the experiences of his heart. And here it is. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Psalm 28:7. Now those of you that have been following the broadcast will remember that the Lord is our strength and shield, is the child of God's resource. And then, my heart trusted in him, and I am helped, is the very essence of the Christian, the child of God's experience. And then we read in the psalm, in the verse of the psalm, therefore with my heart greatly rejoiceth, and there we read the child of God's exaltation and praise, which we have already covered. But lastly, today, we wish to speak of the fact that the last phrase in that song, in that wonderful verse, our occupation with him, is this: and with my song will I praise him. We want to speak of our testimony this morning as to God's wonderful, wonderful grace to you and to me. And so we're going to speak of the child of God's testimony. In Psalm 21, 1 and 13, we read these words: the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and thy salvation how greatly he shall rejoice. We're going to speak, first of all, of our worship toward God, and then our witness toward men. Now, as far as the psalmist concerns here, he says, the king, and he's referring, of course, to the Lord, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. How wonderful. And this rejoicing is the very essence of worship itself. Now, God loves to be worshipped. God loves to be worshipped. Isn't that selfish? No. He is God. And I'll tell you why he wants it. I'm going to read a verse, however, that supports my statement. John 4 and 23. But the Lord, the hour cometh, rather, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Why does God want our worship? He wants our worship because when we are occupied with him and his wonderful grace, his wonderful salvation, his wonderful love, and all the wonderful things about him, we are at our best occupation of mind. God wants our worship because he wants to be assured by our worship that we understand who he is. And oh, I think that that's the greatest thing that we can grasp. With these minds that God has given us, the greatest things that we can possibly grasp is the God that gave us the mind. And so we can worship God in these, with these thoughts in mind. Now, God deserves our worship. We read, for instance, in Revelation chapter 5 and verses 8 to 10. We'll read in those verses, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and vials, golden vials, full of odors, and which are the prayers of the saints. This scene is in heaven. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and people and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. This is a scene in heaven which will be enacted by us someday, and John sees it in the revelation that God gives him at that time and records it for us. They sung a new song. This is a song of worship. It's singing. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. How wonderful. Now, God the Spirit helps us to worship. We read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. The Spirit gives the worship and the power to worship. And he gives us a subject to worship too, and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. We read this in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. The Spirit empowers us to worship, and then he gives us a subject. He gives us a reason for worship. Here it is. Verse 13 of chapter 16 of St. John. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me. Christ is speaking these words. The Spirit will occupy us with Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He will reveal these things to us. He reveals Christ to us. The burden of the Spirit of God is that we might know Christ. The burden of the Spirit of Christ himself was that we might know his Father. Perfect balance in the Godhead. And so the Spirit indicts our worship, as we read there in Philippians 3. He empowers us for the worship, and then he gives us the subject for the worship. Now, the Christian song is a testimony to men. We've talked about our worship of God. Our worship of God for what Christ did for you and for me. It is awesome. Sometimes the children say that when they want to express their greatest feeling about something, it's awesome. I'll tell you, we can learn from the children. God's presence and his beauty and his power and his love is awesome. And it completely captivates our mind. And we worship him. And that's hinted at Psalm 28 and 7. And with my song will I praise him. Ole, let's go on. Now, we read that this worship is to be extended to the Gentiles, well, to the Jews. It's just not only the Jews, it's the Gentiles. But we read in John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And his song will speak of the satisfaction we find in Christ. Now, we are a testimony when we sing. Now, does that mean we have to sing the gospel to everybody that we meet? Of course not. It's the singing heart. The song comes out of the heart. It's the singing heart. It's the joyful heart. And that will result when we see that Christ died for you and for me on that cross to take us into heaven, to remove that barrier of sin that would have kept us out of heaven. And he willingly died for you and for me. Think of it, if you will, please. The Christ of God, that lovely person, taking my blame on the cross and your blame as well. Oh, how wonderful it is to sing. And I'll tell you, the heart sings. And we can, our life before the men around us, people around us, can indicate that our life is filled with song because of the joy that we express. They're watching us. They're really watching us. I had a lady say to me one day, I wish I had your faith. And I felt like saying to her, I wish you knew my Christ. I didn't say it because under the circumstances it would have been too sharp. But it's not my faith. It's what my faith rests in. It's what my faith is occupied with. It's not my great faith. But she detected, I believe, that my heart was filled with song. Song toward the one, I wish I had your faith. Oh, I wish she knew my Christ, and I've been praying for her that she will receive him. Now, let's go on with these thoughts in mind of our testimony before others around us. His song expresses God's mercy and his faithfulness. The Psalms themselves are a compendium of songs. And in that, we see the witness to Christ and to God and to his glory and of his deliverance. Now, let's think of, for instance, Psalm 89 and verse 1. We read there, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I think that we might as well go to the 150th Psalm, which is the climax of all the Psalms. Certainly, this 150th Psalm is a climax. And here it is. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I think probably this psalm will be sung during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it speaks of him. Notice the different points here that why we are to praise him. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for where he is. He is on the throne. He is in heaven. We should respect him for that. You'd better respect a judge when he's on the bench. And God is on the bench, so to speak. He's in heaven, observing all that's going on in this world below here. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for what he can do. What he can do. How wonderful. In the firmament of his power. God created this world by the breath of his nostrils. By the breath of his voice, rather. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for what he has done. What has he done? Well, he died for us on the cross and made redemption possible to everyone that will wants it, that will receive it. And then lastly, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for what he is. Oh, how wonderful a God that we have. We praise him, and when we witness to this among men around us, they perhaps will say of the Christian, I wish I had your faith. And we can say, I wish you had my Savior. But how wonderful it is to realize that we can, our lives, can exhibit the fact that there's a song in our hearts. We don't have to be singing. I'd hate to think if somebody had to listen to me to get the gospel, well, he'd be turned against it. But he can see the song in my heart. And certainly that is what should possess our hearts. Our Father, today we thank you for this series, and may we be occupied with you for what you are. We ask in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.